Blog Talk Radio.
Revival Hour Quartet singing God Still Loves You and He Answers Prayer. That said, don't forget tonight at 6:55 p.m. you should already be on the line on the conference call. Tonight is our prayer meeting. And don't forget to read your 16th chapter in the Finney book, pages 127 through 134. Haven't you been blessed with the Finney book? I have. What an amazing, amazing read. We are praying for revival. We are believing God for the saving of many, many, many souls. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We are in Romans chapter 16. We're making our way through this chapter, and we're looking specifically at verse number 13 today. It reads like this, Romans 16:13. Greet Rufus, the elect in the Lord, and his mother and mine. That was the NIV. Let me read it to you in the wonderful King James Version. It reads, Romans 16:13, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we come to you today again so that you may bless us as only you can. You are the God of blessings, and you desire to bless your children. As the quartet sung, O Lord, you do love us, and you answer our prayers. We pray right now that you would lead us and guide us as we start this new series here in Romans chapter 16, verses 13 and following. Bless us this week as we will come together for 5 consecutive days in this chapter to hear what thus saith the Lord. This we ask, this we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Salute Rufus. Salute and greet here in the text. The word greet, the word salute, is one and the same Greek word as spasomai. And the word espasomai means to hug, to kiss, to put some sugar on it. Every morning when my girls wake up, I say to Madison, "Where's Daddy's brown sugar?" And, of course, she runs over to me, and she hugs and she kisses me, and that's it. I look forward to hugging my daughters, my son, my wife. And I'm looking for some hugs on Thanksgiving. I'm looking for some hugs at Christmas, because when people come over or when you go over to their house, they're welcoming you. They're welcoming you. They're having you over because you mean something to them, and vice versa. They mean something to you. So espasomai is more than just saying we salute. You know, it's like of the American flag. When you salute the American flag, is it just a ritual? Is it just an empty ritual? Or do you really honor that flag? Do you really respect that flag? Do you respect what it stands for? Do you respect all those soldiers that have fought at every war to preserve our freedoms and our rights? As espasomai, we salute you. We salute the men and women on Veterans Day. We salute them. We salute them. On Memorial Day, we salute them. Memorial Day is a day in which we salute all the fallen in this country. On Veterans Day, we salute all those who are serving in this country. Memorial Day for people who gave their lives in service to this country to preserve our rights and our freedoms. And on Veterans Day, for those who are actively in the armed forces, we salute them. We honor our veterans because of what they do and because of what they have done and the blood that they have shed and the limbs that they have lost, even the loss of life. We have freedoms. On Linda's side of the family, she's got a ton of veterans, tons of veterans on her side of the family. Linda's mother and father both served in World War II. That's right. Linda's mom and dad, they both served in World War II. And on my side, I have more veterans than I can count on my side of the family. Many veterans on my side of the family, and we salute them. So Paul says, he says to the militant church of Rome, we salute the soldiers of the cross. We salute the men and women who are serving the Savior. We salute them. We honor them. We love them. We embrace them. We kiss them. So here Paul says, I want you to salute. This is starting in verse 1. I mean, this is a long series of salutes. I want you to salute Rufus. Another name for Rufus, another alternate name would be Red, R-E-D, Red. Have you ever seen someone with reddish hair and freckles? That's Red. That's Rufus. Rufus. So Paul says, I want you to salute Rufus. I want you to salute Red. You know, when Esau came out, when you remember Esau and Jacob, and Esau was the firstborn, and he came out, and they all noticed he was red, reddish hair, reddish. I mean, he was a hairy red kid, and they called him Esau. Esau, Old Testament, red. Rufus, New Testament, red. Red, it just means a kid with reddish hair, no doubt freckles. Salute Rufus, who is chosen in the Lord. This term Lord, kurios in Greek, Jesus is the Lord, the master, the owner of the church. Jesus purchased us with his blood. We are not our own. We've been bought. Jesus paid the price. He redeemed us with his precious blood. And the term Kurios, Lord, is the Old Testament equivalent to Jehovah. Jesus is the Lord of the church. So Paul says, I want you to salute Rufus. I want you to salute Red, because Jesus, who's the head of the church, the master and owner of the church, has chosen him for full-time ministry. Salute him for me. Would you? Give him a big hug and kiss for me. Would you? Now, some may ask, who is this Rufus? Who is he? Well, there's a possibility here that we might make a connection to Rufus's father. There's a possibility. If you go to Mark 15:21, and one of the things that you have to remember is that the Gospel of Mark was written to evangelize the Romans. You see, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, was written, was inspired by the Holy Spirit to evangelize the Jews. The Gospel of Luke was written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to evangelize the Greeks. The Gospel of Mark was written by divine inspiration to evangelize the Romans. So Matthew, the Jews, Luke, the Greeks, and Mark, to the Romans. And then the Gospel of John was written to the church. It's a theological gospel. It's a theological gospel. It tells you who the Savior is, theologically speaking. So notice, one gospel to the Jews, another gospel to the Greeks, another gospel to the Romans, and another gospel to the church. Now, that doesn't mean that you are excluded from reading the gospel to the Jews because you're not a Jew. No, you're not excluded. We read them all. But we know who the intended target audience is to each one of these gospels. So in the gospel to the Romans, Mark, in the 15th chapter, the 21st verse, writes this: and they compel one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. So let me tell you where this text fits in. Jesus is on his way to Golgotha. Jesus has already been tried and condemned. Jesus has already been beaten. Jesus already has the cross on his shoulder, and he's going through the Via Dolorosa. He's going through the path of pain, Jesus is, from Pilate's courthouse to Golgotha Hill. And while he's making his way there, Jesus, he physically can no longer bear his cross, so he stumbles and falls. The Romans have a problem. They got to get Jesus to that hill. So what do? They compel one. There's someone coming from the countryside, and they see this man coming out of the countryside, and he's coming into the city. And the Roman soldiers press him into service. Simon of Cyrene was going somewhere else. He wasn't interested in the crucifixion. He didn't even know that there was a crucifixion taking place until the Romans saw him coming out of the woods, coming out of the countryside. And when he was coming near the procession, they forced him, they drafted him to carry the cross of Jesus. This man is identified as the father of Alexander and Rufus, and the reason why Mark puts those two names there is because the Romans would know who Alexander and Rufus are. If they're getting his gospel and it's written to the Romans would know, the Romans in Rome would know who Alexander and Rufus are. So their father was forced to carry the cross of Jesus because Jesus couldn't carry it. He didn't have the strength. This Simon of Cyrene. Cyrene is North Africa. If you know your New Testament geography, it is North Africa. Now, some would say, well, since it's Africa, he had to be black. Not necessarily, because in Cyrene, there was a Jewish colony. There was a Jewish colony in Cyrene. Just like in all Roman cities, there were, in all cities around the Near Eastern territories, Near Eastern countries, there was always Jewish colonies. It's just like go down to New York and you'll find, go down to New York City and you'll find a Jewish colony. Go down to Philadelphia and you'll find a Jewish colony. Go out to L.A., Los Angeles, you'll find a Jewish colony. Go to Las Vegas and you'll find a Jewish colony. All around the world, the Jews have been scattered, and so it was in the first century. So this Simon of Cyrene, a Jew, a native, who lived in Cyrene, he's coming to Jerusalem to worship. Remember, it's the Passover. And every good Jew was bound by Mosaic law to come to Jerusalem three times a year, and one of them was Passover. So he's coming from the countryside. He's passing through, and they saw him, and they said, here's a guy, force him. And when the Romans draft you and they point the spear in your face, and you have no choice but to take up the wooden cross and carry it for Jesus. Now think about this. This man is coming to Jerusalem to worship, to celebrate the Passover, and he didn't realize it at the moment that he was bearing the cross of the true Passover Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So this man, Simon, is the first one to have on him the blood of Christ. Because when Jesus fell with the cross, it was already bloodied. As he picks up the cross, all that blood, no doubt, is on his clothes. Blood stains. It's the first man to have the blood of the Son of God put on him, and Simon of Cyrene, no doubt, became a believer, and everyone in Rome knows his sons, Alexander and Rufus. So Paul salutes this Rufus, who everybody knows. Now, why doesn't he salute Simon? Well, Simon probably has already gone home to be with the Lord. Why doesn't he salute Alexander? Well, there's two possibilities as to why he didn't greet Alexander. One is Alexander is probably dead, or two, Alexander does not reside in Rome. He resides somewhere else, and so there's no reason to salute him if he's not in Rome. So it could be that he's already gone to glory, or it could be that he's already, he doesn't live there. Or another possibility is that he is not a believer, but I doubt that. I believe Alexander was a believer. So Paul says, I want you to salute Rufus, who's chosen in the Lord. Now, it's interesting because two brothers, Rufus and Alexander, you know, God doesn't pick everybody to be in full-time ministry. Rufus was chosen by Christ, handpicked by Jesus to be a servant, a minister of the gospel. Some of us God picks for that kind of work, and other members of our family, God does not pick them for that and allows them to be an architect, or allows them to be a roofer, or allows them to be a school teacher, or allows them to be an accountant. Now, they're all Christians. The roofer is a Christian. The accountant is a Christian. The school teacher is a Christian. The doctor is a Christian. The dentist is a Christian. But they're not chosen for full-time ministry. So you can have one son who could be a dentist and another son to be a minister. And this is why Paul says, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Chosen in the Lord. We're going to leave it there. We'll be back tomorrow as we talk about Rufus's mother. Because Paul says, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. And I want you to salute his mama, who was also my mama. We'll leave it there. See you all tonight for prayer. 6:55. Try to get there by 6:50. I'll have some wonderful music playing for you, and you're going to be blessed. Read Finney chapter 16. Love you much in the Lord. God bless you in Jesus, and stay focused on serving the Savior.
In that fair home.